now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. It is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are here, and that's the first time you've heard that version, huh? Well, it's worth it. It's worth the extension for this episode. This is the Raw Recap Part 1, leading into the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. Thank you, everyone, for continuing to support Pancakes and Power Slams. We will continue to be here. The chat room is open, as always, for some good old trivia. So we are excited about that. Of course, we will have our esteemed Raw correspondent here, and we will recap Raw. So, like I said before, a little bit different this time as far as everything is concerned, as far as formatting the next couple of weeks. We want to really focus on Raw. Of course, I'll make some references, if possible, to SmackDown and maybe some TNA and ROH references. But as far as focusing, as far as recap, analysis, we're really going to focus on Raw for the next couple of weeks. Little change in formatting because here at Pancakes and Power Slams, we cover everything that's on TV. We got your Raw, your SmackDown, your Impact Wrestling, ROH, and of course we have the Flavor of the Week every week. But like I said, a bit of a recession for that. We definitely love those segments, but Royal Rumble is one of the big four of the year, and really want to focus on Raw, the flagship show of WWE leading into the Royal Rumble. We have this Tuesday, and we have next Tuesday, the go-home show, so to speak, before the Rumble. So we'll really focus on those two things. But feel free to call in. The phone lines will be open, 347-884-8452. Once again, the number is 347-884-8452. Call in with your thoughts, with your Raw thoughts, or if you have some random inquiry about wrestling, random question about wrestling, what did I think about an overage of NWO members back in the WCW? Anything. You know, any civil question that you have that's wrestling-based, I'll be more than happy to answer it on this show live. Of course, we'll have trivia. We always have trivia. That's something that's going to be a mainstay here on the Pancakes and Power Slam show with some good old trivia. So, speaking of trivia, we're going to open up our first trivia question. Who did the Body Donnas defeat to become WWE Tag Team Champions? Once again, who did the Body Donnas defeat to become the WWE Tag Team Champions? All right, let's go to Raw. We have Vince McMahon with his in-ring promo. By the way, this is the 20th anniversary show, so you know it would seem by default that this would be an amazing show. So you know, but we'll see how I feel about it. We'll see what Derek feels about it as well. But I'll give you a hint. definitely was lackluster. So we'll go further into it as far as how I felt in detail about it. But you know, this was a big deal. I mean, their opening intro was not that bad at all. The whole, you know, different Raw music and things like that. But as far as segment by segment, yeah, that's why we're here to talk about it. So once again, 347-884-8452. Also, tweet at Crave Wrestling if you have something to say that you would like to put live on air in front of a national audience here at the Pancakes and Power Slam show. Tweet at Crave Wrestling and put PAP, hashtag PAP, Pancakes and Power Slams. Once again, tweet at Crave Wrestling, hashtag PAP for Pancakes and Power Slams. Let's go to Raw. Vince McMahon in-ring promo. It would make sense. 20th anniversary. Vince McMahon opens it up. Then we get an interruption by The Big Show. Interesting interruption from the beginning. Interrupted by The Big Show, and then Show interrupted by, and then Show cuts a promo. You know, a typical Big Show promo. Nothing of worth. I mean, you know, I'm really surprised that that they would continue to make Big Show this important. But however, you know, at the end of the day, the Big Show, he's been around for a while, so I understand why they're doing what they're doing. I'm not too opposed to his feud with Alberto Del Rio. It was interesting because right after the show, right after the Pancakes and Power Slam show was when the breaking news happened. It was around the time that the show was ending that the breaking news was posted on WWE.com. They spoiled SmackDown. And showed that Alberto Del Rio won the World Heavyweight Championship. So it was really interesting that the WWE is so big on, you know, staying away from the media or the computers or, you know, the airwaves as far as the computers are concerned. But at the same time, you know, they're anti-dirt sheet, so to speak, just because of their corporateness. But they really spoiled it themselves, I guess. In their eyes, it's more of a, well, you know, if we know that it's going to reach the dirt sheets, so we might as well be the first person to, we might as well be the first people to break the news, so to speak. So it's interesting that they did that. I think there was a couple of other times. I think there was one or two other times where that happened too. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they spoiled Jack Swagger being Jericho for the World Heavyweight Championship on SmackDown, cashing his Money Bank. I'm almost positive. The one I remember vividly was the one where Mark Henry and The Undertaker were feuding. Well, Undertaker was in a match, and I think Mark Henry kind of came back from a little hiatus, and he was beating up on The Undertaker for a while, and then Edge came in and cashed his Money in the Bank, his second Money in the Bank, on The Undertaker, and won the World Heavyweight Championship. And it was a ticker during Raw at that time, where they announced during Raw that Edge, or it was during some, I think it was during ECW, because SmackDown was taped on Tuesdays, and maybe Raw was taped that week. It was something of that nature. I don't remember exactly what it was, but they did spoil Edge winning the World Heavyweight Championship, so that was pretty interesting. They definitely spoiled that. But they spoiled it with Alberto Del Rio. Watched the match on SmackDown. It was pretty interesting. It actually wasn't a bad match at all. I think they should have saved it, for the Royal Rumble. It was a Royal Rumble quality match. And I think that it would have made Alberto Del Rio, bigger, the win a little bigger, because it would have been on a grander scale, except for, instead of a spoiled SmackDown match. But it looks like we will see a rematch on the Royal Rumble. Like always, since I landed the gig at WrestleZone.com, at WrestlingInc.com, I apologize. WrestleZone.com is another good site, for Wrestling.com is another site. I love just plugging sites. I'm a very rational guy like that. I'm all about the joy of wrestling, but I favor WrestlingInc.com because I write for them, 411 Wrestling. There's a bunch of different WrestlingNewsSource.com is one of our Wrestling News Source was one of our sponsors for a while. Wrestling News Feed was another one of our sponsors for a while. I'm all about plugging websites. It's all good stuff, all wrestling. But, the one I tend to favor, of course, is WrestlingInc.com. It's where I write. So I'm going to keep plugging them. I'm very happy to be a writer for WrestlingInc.com, or just independent wrestling site in the world. Check out my articles on there. But like I said, ever since I've been there, I keep plugging it. But at the same time, I think it's really important to not. The reason why I'm saying that is that Alberto Del Rio is the Rey Mysterio, so to speak. I'm familiar with the latest reports, writing for this site and being a news reporter, and I'm familiar with basically a lot of the goings on, and basically what is being said, what is being reported, is that Alberto Del Rio became a babyface and won because he is the he's a new Latino face of the WWE, because Rey Mysterio is continuing to be an injury and in personal problems, not being around. And then Sin Cara, they're expecting Sin Cara to be a little bit better than where he was. Botched matches and didn't really get over that much. He did in the beginning, but after the injury, Money in the Bank, last year or 2 years ago. 2011 is Money in the Bank is when he got injured. But just really after his injury, and he was injured again, just really didn't go over with the fans as much as the WWE wanted him to. So as a result, unfortunately, he was not the top face for the Latino community. So here comes here slides in Alberto Del Rio. His heel character was getting stale, and so I'm glad that they made that move to make him the top babyface. I think that was a good idea. He interrupted Big Show, and they go back and forth and end up scuffling. And then Mr. Man gave him a nice little plug. Here's your world heavyweight champion, Alberto Del Rio. Next, we had Wade Barrett defeating Randy Orton. Now, this was really surprising to me. Not only did he defeat Randy Orton on a Raw, he defeated Randy Orton. I mean, he defeated him clean. I mean, it was a straight-up bullhammer, and that was it. I mean, so I was very, very surprised that they had Wade Barrett win in this fashion. I mean, talk about your really turning the ignition to push this guy. I thought that the Intercontinental Championship was a step down, but I don't want to spoil one of the reasons why. It's reported that loss happened. Check out wrestlinginc.com for that. But you know, it may, to a lot of fans, it may be what you wanted from the beginning, from a long time ago, and it seems like it's what Randy Orton is wanted as well. So if you can read between the lines, that's one of the reports of why Randy Orton has lost that match clean, and it really hasn't been, other than the Shield, he's been kind of having a little bit of dissension with Sheamus. So may lead to something. We'll see. Check out WrestlingGeek.com. And also BleacherReport.com. I write for them as well. I'm a feature columnist. You'll see the reports there. When you see the reports and when you see what may happen, you know, like I said, tweet at Crave Wrestling, hashtag PAP, Pancakes and Power Slams, and you may be on the air. Next, we have Booker T, Teddy Long, and Eve Bat's Day segment. I saw where this was heading. Eve is taking some time off. She's burned out, so I was expecting her to lose her match tonight at Raw, last night at Raw. That was pretty interesting, though, how Booker T kind of played into her seduction a little bit, but really, you know, played her. So it was pretty interesting. Kane and Daniel Bryan with Dr. Shelby. I wasn't too thrilled about this segment because for so long, their segments were really, really good. And then for them to and then for them to have that type of segment where Team Road Scholars come in and just kind of talk down and degrade Dr. Shelby, and then after that, Dr. Shelby ends up getting mad. So all those weeks that really formed Kane and Daniel Bryan and Dr. Shelby's influence, which was really good for them to kind of have that segment at the 20th anniversary. It was a flop to me. I wasn't a big fan of it at all. So, and then we have, Ken Daniel Bryan tag team Road Scholars, and all three of them start chanting yes. So, and that led to Kane defeating Damian Sandow. They had a clean. Team Road Scholars had a clean win towards them last week. So it pretty much makes sense that they will have that. So, all right, yeah, the Godwins is the correct answer. Great job with that. Next question is, who was under the Mr. America mask? Who was under the Mr. America mask? Then we had Mick Foley being the first person inducted to the Hall of Fame. I think I wasn't a big fan at all with his segment. For Mick Foley to be inducted to the Hall of Fame, well deserved, in my opinion. I definitely think that Foley was. I mean, he's basically just talking about blood, sweat, and tears. He busts his butt for so long, for the sake of wrestling. Period. Not only the WWE, but for the sake of pro wrestling. Period. I think that it was a very good decision to make Mick Foley in the Hall of Fame. But I mean, he had I don't know exactly the time that he had the mic, but it was, 30 seconds to a minute. Maybe two or three tops, but it seemed short, very short. And then, basically he just sabotaged his, interview, his thank you speech to, on behalf of the Shield, and to have, it was predictable who was going to come out, because those are the three people that seems like it's on deck to a feud with the Shield next. Ryback comes out first and kind of gets the upper hand and gets outnumbered, and then Orton comes out, and the same happened with him, and then Sheamus comes out third and evens it out. Then Ryback shell shocks Dean Ambrose. It's like I wrote on the Bleacher Report article on the Bleacher Report about Ryback being stalled by the Shield, and this even more proves it, and I definitely see. I definitely see a pretty bleak future for Ryback, for him to be pumped and pushed up so high. It was not. I'm not liking it. The Shield attacks were just redundant, and for a 20th anniversary show, this definitely wasn't a good spot for Ryback, so I was not happy with that. Then we got Josh Matthews interviewing Ryback in the ring. I will say this, though. Ryback's promo at the end of the whole thing, it wasn't that bad. That was Ryback's promos have been pretty much one-dimensional. I definitely see that Ryback it's one dimensional and it fits his character, so it's not too bad. But at the same time, I don't really see anything versatile. But I will say this, though, Ryback actually was not that bad. His promo wasn't that bad. So definitely that's a good thing for Ryback. Looks like there's a bit of technical difficulties here trying to bring Derek on the line. Hopefully that can happen. He's waiting, chomping at the bits. So we'll see if we can, if we're able to bring him on here. You know, he can, I can, if we can't get him on, he's on staff, so he can maybe send a message or something like that, and I'll read it for this week. I apologize for the technical difficulties, but trying to get him on. But somehow, some way, you will hear from the esteemed Raw correspondent, Derek. Also, the looks like the answer is correct. Hulk Hogan was under the Mr. America mask. I have no idea. I mean, that whole gimmick was just the weirdest. Zach Gowen was around at that time, and he was feuding against McMahon. It was just really weird. Next question is, what wrestler was known as the Z-Man? What wrestler was known as the Z-Man? WWE showcased the craziest gimmicks. That was pretty funny. I really liked that. The whole Goldust and Steve Austin bit was pretty funny as well. Then Caitlyn defeated Eve to become new Divas Champion. I was expecting that based on the reports of Eve allegedly leaving. Pretty much confirmed it then. It wasn't a loser-leaves match, but I was waiting. I was waiting for some type of announcement, and we saw it a little later on. I'll tell you what, though, that was actually a pretty good match. I was actually surprised. I'll tell you what, though, Caitlyn, from basically starting her wrestling career, not basically, she did start her wrestling career on this type of scale at NXT a couple years ago, and for her to make that type of come up, pretty impressive. I will give it up to Caitlyn for sure. Definitely got tired of the feud, but I really hope that Caitlyn keeps that spear, because that spear is a you really don't see a female do a spear. And I definitely think that that would be really good for Caitlyn to keep that spear. She's been trying to. She's been going back and forth for different finishing moves. The gut buster, the fireman's carry into the gut buster is not the. I don't think that's really a catchy move for Divas Champion. Eve's move, Eve spinning neck breaker, kind of rolled the dice back in Reno days. Almost, not quite, but almost. As far as the spinning neck breaker, but it was pretty good. But Caitlyn, I like the spear. I think the spear is a good idea. Then we get a Brodus Clay backstage interview. Made sense. CM Punk made a reference to him. CM Punk made a reference of him last week. So, you know, makes sense to, you know, put him up against CM Punk. But, I mean, if this was, you know, about 6 months ago or so, it would make more sense. But now, of course, he's not... of course, Brodus Clay is not a good character. I mean, he's not anybody of worth. I mean, I'm trying to hold on by a thread to Brodus Clay, but he's definitely not anyone of worth anymore. So, you know, it wasn't a good set up to me as far as for the 20th anniversary. When Punk defeated Brodus Clay, you know, it made it a little better when he got on the mic, when he was like, you know, I work and things like that. I beat 400-pound guys, you know, and basically what he was saying. But, you know, I don't see the purpose of the setup. I like the meaner side of Brodus Clay. They should keep the funk dactyls and the Funkasaurus type of gimmick, you know, but to be cheesy just wasn't cutting it. A meaner Brodus Clay but still keeping a babyface role, I think that'll help. I think when he got a little bit of a mean streak when he was feuding with the Big Show, and I think that was a good thing. I think they could do something with Brodus Clay. However, I don't know. They need to hurry because if they don't, it's not gonna be good in Brodus Clay's future. So, Tom Zink. Tom Zink is indeed the correct answer. Yes, the next question is, what was the main event of the first WrestleMania? What was the main event of the first WrestleMania? All right, the next segment was Mick Foley and The Rock talk backstage, interrupted by Vicky Guerrero. Vicky Guerrero, there was one part that she was talking to Foley, and she kind of just stopped in the middle of her sentence. It was just so weird. I don't remember exactly what she said, but it was just really weird. I tell you what, though, it's the 20th anniversary of Raw, and I think the best thing that could have came out of that segment, and I know it's kind of tough to imagine this right now, but I think the best thing that could have came out of that segment could have been a tag team match with the Rock and Sock Connection against Team Road Scholars. I think that would have been the best option that could have came out of that segment, especially seeing how Team Road Scholars interrupted The Rock's promo on SmackDown. So I think that could have been the best thing that came out of that segment. However, it's just The Rock, Mick Foley, and Vicky Guerrero. So that was just really weird to me. Looks like having some technical difficulties. But call in, though, 347-884-8452. However, for some reason, it's having some a little bit of trouble picking up in the studio here. But the tweets is definitely coming full throttle. So continue to tweet the correct answers of the trivia questions and any other random Raw thoughts that you have. Next segment was 3MB defeating Sheamus in the Royal Rumble rules match. I really didn't. It's just, once again, this is the 20th episode of Raw. You do a 3-on-1 handicap Royal Rumble rules match. He defeats two of 3MB, but the other two pulls them out to help the other one, and they win. Just really bad booking for the 20th anniversary of Raw. Just totally unimpressed. I mean, this could have waited to maybe the go-home show next week. Even if this was on next week's show, it wouldn't have been that good. So, I mean, of course, there was a lot of more expectations for, you know, episode 1025, 20th anniversary of Raw. Big deal. I mean, you know, there were tons of tweets going on by many, many different wrestlers pumping it up and just keeping, you know, everyone excited about it. However, the payoff was just not good. So then Sheamus attacks 3MB post match. I will say this, the little it was an electric chair. I mean, like Drew McIntyre, I think had Heath Slater horsed it up. And then Sheamus clips. I mean, he hits McIntyre in the leg, forces him to lower Heath Slater, you know, to get a original recipe'd bro kick. So I think that was fairly funny. Then we had a John Cena backstage interview. I'll tell you what was funny about this was, I mean, Cena's good on the mic. I mean, no matter how you slice it, Cena's good on the mic. But I was cracking up. I was, you know, it was definitely an LOL moment when he mentioned Braden Walker. I'm like, wow, he, out of anybody that he could have said, he mentioned Braden Walker. For those who don't know or don't remember who Braden Walker was, back in the day, TNA really pushed, well, Wildcat Chris Harris, he really was doing good in TNA. He broke off America's Most Wanted and had a pretty decent singles career in TNA. He was in one of the Slammiversary, King of the Mountain matches. And he was climbing up the ladder, and WWE saw that and hired him on. He had a couple of appearances in ECW. Changed his name to Braden Walker. It was just such a flop. It was just really, really bad. I mean, I don't want to believe that WWE was just doing it vindictively, but it seemed like it. I mean, I'm not gonna say that per se, you know, for the WWE, but man, it was just really, really bad. So, you know, and then unfortunately, you know, there was a couple stints he went back as Chris Harris, but he was just so out of shape, and it was just really embarrassing. So now he's doing some indie shows, and it's a tough one. It's a tough one for Chris Harris, and of course his partner James Storm is doing really well in TNA. Actually, formulated a more popular tag team, which was Beer Money, and of course both him and Bobby Roode were former TNA World Heavyweight Champions. So. Poor Chris Harris, basically. You know, he really had a lot of promise, but didn't work out too well. So that's who Braden Walker was. Miz TV segment, the guest was Ric Flair. What's interesting about this is Miz came out and cut a little bit of a promo, and before he went to commercial break, he said that his special guest, he was going to give him a hint, give everybody a hint. And he kept saying woo, and he did a strut. And basically, what I read out of that was, okay, now all the Fairweather friends who's watching Raw 20th anniversary and or the avid fans who, you know, have some Fairweather friend fans, hey, you know, commercial leading into the next part of the Miz TV segment, there's probably a time for people to call their friends and say, hey, Ric Flair's about to be on the WWE. I haven't checked the ratings yet to see if it spiked at all during that commercial break, but it would make sense for them to do it that way. So that's why it's kind of hard to really, because of the ratings, because of the dirt sheets and everything else, it's really hard for the element of surprise to really exist anymore. So, I mean, you know, of course, it's the evolution of, you know, media. But that segment between The Miz and Ric Flair was just one of the most discombobulated, unorganized, just, I mean, it was just loony to me. And, you know, it was just, I just didn't understand. I mean, the segment that they went off to was pretty funny. But at the same time, you know, I don't really understand. I it was just so weird. It just seemed so unscripted. And then the fact that I'm not, you know, it's not the big deal that it was unscripted, but the fact that there was just no type of order, and just everything just seemed off the cuff. And the both of them are pretty witty, but I didn't really see much wittiness there. I just seen some just Looney Tunes, Miz TV. Thank God we were saved by Antonio Cesaro, which is pretty cool. And eventually, Ric Flair gets a few jabs and a few chops, Irish whip on Cesaro. Was about to get Cesaro in a figure four and kind of pass the torch to The Miz, which is pretty interesting. I wonder if Ric Flair managing The Miz would be a good idea. I don't know. But obviously, from what we saw with Slammy Awards, CM Punk, and last night on Raw, he's playing the babyface because he played a heel before he left in TNA. Next, we have Daniel Bryan against Cody Rhodes. Daniel Bryan gets the win. It was rather quick as well, so that's pretty interesting. Eve interview via WWE app, quits WWE. Makes sense. I was waiting for that to happen. Correct answer, by the way. Hogan and Mr. T against Piper and Orton. Great job. Great job. Great job. Then we get AJ with Big E recalls WWE weddings. That was an interesting segment. I just like, you know, just rewinds like that. I'll tell you what I don't like, though. I don't like Big E talking. Like I said before, I just don't like Big E talking. Don't understand why he did that. Just to show AJ's wedding. And that was just really, it was just really irrelevant. John Cena defeats Dolph Ziggler in the steel cage. Good match, but another John Cena-Dolph Ziggler match that Dolph Ziggler loses. They keep having him lose. Like I said before, you know, he doesn't need some type of extravagant change in his win-loss record, but continuing to lose to Cena in this magnitude, it may be a little bit too late to make him a relevant world heavyweight champion, especially since Alberto Del Rio basically just stepped right in front of him. So, I don't know. I don't even, you know, and it's kind of sad, but I've said this before to colleagues, but I don't think, this is unfortunate because I like Ziggler, I don't think that Ziggler is going to be a big draw in the main event scene. Not because of his ability. I think that he's became just buried. Not the typical buried term, but just kind of relegated, so to speak, or maybe reigned in the upper mid card scene for so long that I don't know if he's going to be a good draw. Then lastly, we get the Rock concert. I mean, compared to all the other ones, this was the worst one by far. definitely the worst one. Didn't even last long. He sings about Paul Heyman, and he has Vicky Guerrero comes out, and he says, you know, he said he's going to keep it a PG show, and he, some of the language that he used was definitely not PG, so it was kind of contradictory, but it was just really weird. Calls out CM Punk, and then eventually at the end, Rock and Punk fight, and that's how it ended. So, all in all, just was not a big fan of the segment. Just the Raw 20th anniversary. All right, we got some we got Derek. Couldn't get him on the line, but we have a message from Derek, our esteemed Raw correspondent. He said the intro was awesome. He liked that they showed all the intros. Good call on that. Like I said, he said other than that it sucked. He's glad it Kane beat Sandow. Kane and Daniel Bryan segments are getting annoying, but they're an awesome team. I definitely agree with that. He believed The Rock was a delight. A little different than what I believed. He also said Shield continues to upset the Avengers. Pretty funny. Big Show was boring. Rock and Psycho was refreshing. And he liked The Rock show once again. And he believed that the 20th anniversary could have been much better. Thank you for your comments, Derek. Fine next week. Sorry that for some reason couldn't get you on the line today, but we'll definitely do all that we can to get him on the line next week. But he's part of the Crave Wrestling staff, so definitely have him on deck via any other form of communication. So thank you so much for your comments, Derek. All right, like I said before, different formatting for the next couple of weeks, part one and part two of the Raw recap. Like I said, you know, of course, I mean, we have four figures of listeners. Thank you so much for that once again. Very, very, very happy, and it's continuing to get better and better. So waiting for that five figures to pop up in the queue as far as the number of listeners. So continue to just spread the word about Crave Wrestling. Oh, wait a minute. How about this? I think that we may have working now. So let's see. Do we have you on the line, Derek?
Yes, you do.
All right.
I'm so glad we could finally make it through. Hey, yeah, the intro to Raw last night was very surprising. It kind of took me back to years before, and it was a very great intro to Raw. However, again, as you mentioned, I thought Raw was kind of a bust last night. For the 20th anniversary, you think it would be all glitz and glamour and everybody from the past, present, future. It really wasn't. I know you don't like The Rock that much. You've never been a big fan, from what I understand, but I thought The Rock pretty much, he kind of saved the show. He was the reason that I really watched the show. The Rock and Saw connection was awesome to see him and Mick Foley back together again. I agree with you as far as Mick Foley being underused last night. Could have been a lot better. Kane beat Sandow. That was an awesome win for Kane. I've always been a Kane fan. I support Kane all I can. And the Bryant and Kane team, I really like them a lot. WWE is good for having funny teams like that. In the past, if you look back, you see Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle with Triple H, Kurt Angle with Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle mm-hmm. needs to be back on Raw. When The Rock sang the Eric Clapton hit Wonderful Tonight instead of Horrible Tonight, to me that was funny. It was kind of refreshing to see that happen for him and CM Punk to get in the ring and beat each other up. I like to see The Rock with new talent, because The Rock, for me, he still has it. And he is the person that I hang on to that still brings out the wrestling fan in me. The Undertaker, I wish he was around more often. I know that he's almost past his prime. But The Undertaker always holds something special in my heart. If he's not going to be around for WrestleMania, which usually he shows up by now, then more power to him. And I like to call the Avengers Ryback, Orton, and Sheamus as the Avengers against the Shield. It's still good for me. I enjoy to see them, you know, tassel with each other, but it's got to go somewhere sometime soon. And especially for Ryback, and especially for Orton. Orton's been lame for the last few years, and he's finally starting to show a rise. So I hope he continues that. And most of all, it's good to see Mankind again, but the 20th anniversary of Raw was kind of a bummer. So I'm glad I finally got to be able on tonight. And what do you think? See you.
Awesome. Wow, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Derek. We managed here in the studio to get you on. Thank you for the technicalities to be taken care of to get Derek on here. So thank you for that. Yeah, especially from the latter part, you said, I reiterate, I just don't think it was okay that Foley only had a very, very short part of the Hall of Fame, you know, when he was, you know, announced to be Hall of Fame. I think he should have cut a promo. He should have cut a promo. And, you know, then with that, then the show could have came in after that, but we should have got a promo from Mick Foley at least. So hopefully, you know, we'll see something different. But thank you so much for continuing to support Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are, like I said, this is number one in the two-part series of leading into the Raw for next the next 2 weeks. We will be continuing to cover Raw and Raw recap. Like I said before, thank you so much. The numbers are just continuing to grow. Waiting for that 10,000 mark. We're in four figures now, but waiting for that 10,000 mark. So continue to spread the word about Crave Wrestling. As you can see, Derek and I and the Crave Wrestling staff just really appreciate you. We really appreciate all your support. And we will continue to be here, but we need your help financially. So PayPal, cravewrestling@gmail.com. Get tweets. We get comments about the show. People just really, tuning in every week and know that we cover everything. We have this week's news and, continue to just cover everything from a headline standpoint, continue to cover everything from just across the board, you know, like I said, everything that's on TV on a weekly basis, we cover because we're avid wrestling fans. So lifelong avid wrestling fans. So what Derek doesn't want to, you know, he's very modest about this, but Derek used to be an indie wrestler, so. He's modest about it, but he actually had some wrestling background. I used to amateur wrestle. I used to freestyle wrestle, actually. So, you know, him having some pro wrestling background, me having some amateur, some freestyle wrestling background. You know, not only are we wrestling fans, we are former wrestlers. So, thank you so much for continuing to support us in the calls. This is, we can go on and on and talk about wrestling. So thank you so much for letting us use some of your time and for you to invest your time into supporting Pancakes and Power Slams by Crave Wrestling. So check me out on Bleacher Report. Chris Featherstone, of course, follow Crave Wrestling at Crave Wrestling. Hashtag team followback too. Just retweet, just spread the news about Crave Wrestling on Twitter. Okay, just like I said, I write for WrestlingInc.com, and so of course, if you want the latest news, the latest rumors, the latest reports, check out WrestlingInc.com, and I'm a writer on there too. So you might, when you click on a link, when you click on a headline, there's a good chance that you might see my name on there too. And also, like I said, I also do I write articles this day in history. So I love wrestling nostalgia. So if you go to WrestlingInc.com and click on this day in history, you can see me as the author of that, article. The latest one I did was I wrote an article about the very first Raw. So yeah, just continue to check out this day in history. Continue to check out the rest of the articles that all the wonderful Wrestling Inc. Staff write, including myself, about just different news that. Up-to-date news that you will want to know as wrestling fans. Also, check me out on Bleacher Report, like I said. Like Crave Wrestling on Facebook. Until next week, we will have part two of the Raw recap. Subscribe on iTunes. We have a lot of iTunes supporters as well. But call in. You know, I usually try to squeeze in some people every now and then. But I'll be, you know, after 50 episodes approaching, we want to change the format up a little bit. So we'll be opening up the lines a lot more for you to call in live. So 347-884-8452 is the number to put in your back pocket. We had some technical difficulties today, but thankfully the technical department studio rectified that enough to bring Derek on the line. So we got our esteemed Raw correspondent, and hopefully we have you on the line next week. So call in, and thank you so much for continuing to watch, continue to listen to the Pancakes and Power Slam show. Until next week, enjoy your wrestling, and God bless. Goodbye.